If you want to live a life of victory, you have got to have Jesus Christ as thou vision. Be thou my vision. Has to be first and foremost. The very first thought when you wake up and the very last thought before you fall asleep. If you want to live that life of victory, Jesus Christ has got to be your all in all. Hence the songs that we just sang about the power in Jesus' name and the fact that all of creation worships God. All of creation points to the fact that there is a designer, there is a creator who put all this together. And our lives are meant to do the same thing. But something happened to us. Sin encroached, okay? We chose to walk away from God rather than accept the truth of God. So today, we're going to look at our enemy, and we need to understand that if we're going to live victorious, we have got to know our enemy. I think it's amazing. I was given a story years and years ago. The United States Treasury looks for counterfeit bills. They train their agents to be able to identify counterfeit bills. Do you have any idea how they do that, what they do, what kind of training they go through in order to identify counterfeit bills? Marion. They study the real one. They don't study the fakes. They study the real ones down to the microscopic, okay? To the very ink dots that are there, to the materials that are in the cloth, et cetera, et cetera. They study the real one because when a fake is in front of them, they can spot it like that. And it's so amazing because in the church, we're constantly running around looking for our enemy, running around looking for our enemy, running around looking for our enemy. How many of you know your enemy? It's so funny because right now all of you are thinking about Satan and you're wrong. And I'm going to show you that through Christ's very words, okay? He is an enemy of us all, but he is not the enemy that we have to fight every day. All right? He started the process. He knew that's all he had to do. He started the process. There's another enemy. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, to the book of Revelation, of all places, the book of Revelation, huh? Well, we're going to get a revelation today from Revelation chapter 2. From Revelation chapter 2, we're going to be in verses 1 through 7. And I'm going to break it up into three little sections here. I think it's amazing. Seven verses, and I could probably preach on this for 7 weeks. But we're not going to do that. We're going to get it all in one day. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the 7 golden lampstands says this, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance and that you cannot tolerate evil men and you put to test those who call themselves apostles and they are not and you found them to be false and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Boy, that sounds pretty good right there, doesn't it? First 3 verses sound pretty good. God of creation, he's the one there holding the 7 lampstands. He is the light of the world. And these people in Ephesus have seen and know, and they've been testing all these people. Sounds like a good church, doesn't it? Sounds like a church you want to be part of. They've tested the people. They know what is truth, and they know what is false. Amen? They're practicing their religiosity. Please make note of the words I use today. They are practicing their religiosity. They know their theology. But they know not the Theo. Theo meaning God. How do I know that? Look at the next couple verses. From verse 4. It says, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do, and yeah, blah, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. That so amazes me because, folks, this is not talking to unbelievers. This is talking to the church. This is talking to us. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if we want to live in victory, we need to pay attention to what is being spoken here. The church today does all kinds of wonderful things, right? There are many churches out there who know the truth. They know what is right, they know what is wrong, and they stand for what is right. But then something happens. There's something that goes awry. And Jesus here is speaking of that which is going awry. He says, you have left your first love. What is our first love? Yeah, Miss Beth got it. God. Well, now, wait a minute. These people are in church. They're doing things, right? Didn't we just read they're doing things? So what's going on? They're not practicing for themselves the very things they're admonishing against others. They have turned inward towards self. You see, the greatest enemy we have is I, the great God, I. Okay? When you and I understand that the enemy we fight is the enemy within, because sin is still part of this physical flesh. Can I get an amen? Because I'm going to tell you right now, each and every one of us has to fight that fight every day. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing we're told to do is what? Put on the full armor of God. Because if you're not dressed for battle, you're going to lose the battle. If you're going to war, do you pick up a butter knife or do you pick up the AK? I'll tell you what, I'm hoping my enemy picks up the butter knife. But we all know that we need to be prepared. Every one of us knows that. But yet we go into our day not prepared, not dressed for battle, not ready for the fight. And when the stuff comes at us, we submit to it. Because it seems overwhelming. And the next thing you know, we're involved in the very same reality that we see happening in our world today. We see everyone compromising their morals and values because, well, you know, society says. I don't care what society says. I want you to think about where we are as a nation. We have people in Congress right now who want to strip us of all our freedoms and put us on a socialist agenda that they give us what they want us to have and that we all are working primarily for them. Now, if you don't think that's the case, then you're not listening to what they're saying. They want to provide for us all the health care that we're going to get. They want to provide for us all the needs that we're supposed to have. How many of you have ever seen a government program work? Everybody here right now is shaking their heads no. And it's so amazing because we need government. We need government to watch over us and to protect us from foreign countries, to keep our borders secure. But what about within the borders? These people have turned their attention from what's going on outside because they've become globalists. And they want to be part of a world agenda. You see, it's always about them. It's always about their power and what they can have. It's the I that I'm speaking of, because if we were absent of God, our hearts would be towards the very same things. All the power and all the strength and everything that we could accomplish. We sang the songs. All of nature, everything in this universe speaks of a creator, and yet they deny it. Oh, no. Everything evolved over billions of years. Notice how I do that. That's the magic. Okay? That's the magic that makes all that happen. Okay? I don't care how many billions of years it would have taken. I look at one simple little creature. Any creature, you pick it out. You know, it was funny because when Darwin came up with the theory, he said, well, look at the simple cell, a simple one-celled organism. It's got a nucleus, and it's got this, and it's got, and that's all it has. Well, guess what? We know that's not true now, don't we? Within that very simple cell is one little thing. It's called DNA. There's enough information in that DNA to fill the Library of Congress. You and I need to understand, we were not an accident, a cosmic accident, that particles of dust collided in deep space and all of a sudden we have life. It didn't happen that way. When you look at the systems that are happening here on our planet, you need to understand that it could not have evolved, because in order for a bee to fly, everything had to happen at once. Okay? In order for the systems that we have with the flowers and the bees and the fruit and all the different things, it all had to happen at once. If it took evolution, none of it would have survived, because everything would have had to have been in perfect sync at the exact same time the whole way through. That can't happen. Have you ever taken a stick of dynamite and blown up a rock and had it make a Mercedes? Are we that dumb? But the world thinks we are. So therefore, it chases after its own tail. And we need to be careful of ourselves, that we're not chasing after our own tails. Because if we can say God doesn't exist, now we can bring ourselves into that position of being God, of being in control, and the fact that we know best for everybody else. I don't know about you, but I do know this. Men left to their own druthers will destroy themselves. If you want to prove that, all we have to do is look at history. And it's so amazing, because these people that are in there now trying to make us a socialist government are telling us that they know how to do it. Do they realize that this has been tried time and time and time and time again, and it has failed every time it's ever been tried? We have had the greatest success as a nation. We are headed for 250 years. Praise God. I don't think we'll make it. Because if we continue at the exponential provocation that we are now traveling, by 2026, the Constitution of the United States will be a defunct document. You know they are now attacking the Declaration of Independence. They have just begun attacking the Declaration. The Constitution wasn't bad enough. Now they're attacking the very birth certificate of our nation. Brothers and sisters, the evil that we need to watch, the enemy that we need to take control of, is the enemy within. And if we're not seeing it now, I don't know who is. I think it's so amazing to me, because when you think about the scriptures, when you understand what God is trying to tell us here, in fact, turn to the book of Hebrews, if you will. Hebrews chapter 6. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 6. So many of us need to understand that God does see what goes on. God does understand where our hearts are. And God rewards those who are working with Him. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're in Christ Jesus, is every day rainbows and sunshine? No, they're not. Because we live in this world, and Jesus told us, as you live in this world, you will have light and momentary troubles. And I've said it before, He's got a good sense of humor. Because these troubles don't seem light and they don't seem momentary. But that's because we're temporal and He's eternal. If we take it from His perspective, He sees things from the end where He knows we've won. but we got to get through it. So we've got to fight every day to get there. And this is what God says. This is his promise to us. Look at verse 10 in chapter 6. Verse 10 in chapter 6. For God is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Halfway through, as things get difficult? No. Almost there, I'm tired? No. To the end. To the end. We need to understand, this body's going to fall apart. I can't do the things I could. I'm 56, going to be 57. 60's coming quick. How old are you, Miss Gloria? No, don't tell. Birthday's this week, 81. Woohoo! We are praising the Lord for that, because that's a good life. Miss Martha made it 83 years, and now she's at home. She's seeing the perfection of eternity right now. She made it through to the end. You know, I hate to tell you this. Don't give up, because regardless, you're going to make it to the end. The whole point is, where's your end going to be? Is your end going to be with God and in the hope of glory, or is your end going to be in this life? Because I want you to think about something. If you're not in Christ Jesus, your end does come at the end of this life. It's over. You will have no more life. All you will have is death all the rest of your days. And death is total separation from God forever, alone, in toil and torment. I don't want to be there. You know, there's a lot of people out there who say, oh, do you hear that preacher preaching? Oh, my goodness, there is no such place as hell. I'm going to tell you right now, if you think that, I know where you're going to spend eternity. Because if you truly believe there is no hell, it is your home already. Because if you do not believe in hell, you truly do not believe in God. Because of the top three subjects that Jesus talked about, what was one of them? Hell. One of the top three subjects was hell, Hades, death. We need to understand it is a real place. And it is calling our name ever since Satan got us to fall. See, I think it's so amazing. So many people think Satan's the enemy. Satan's the enemy. Jesus said it in the scriptures. He's like a roaring lion wanting to devour us. Yeah, but all he has to do is speak it, okay? When a lion roars, you hear it from a distance. And when he spoke to Adam and Eve, and they fell, guess what? That was 6,000 years ago, and we can still hear the roar because it's still affecting us today. Because Adam and Eve did not love God. They loved self because they saw the fruit, that it was good for wisdom and good for food, and they thought of self and they ate it. And look where we are. The enemy is ourselves, our appetites, our desires, the things that we want. Now, does that mean that we all need to give up everything and become monks and live in a monastery? No, absolutely not. Jesus Christ says, I have come to give them life and give it to them to the full. He wants us to experience this world. He wants us to have the joys of life. He wants us to know the thrill of babies and the joys of old age. You know, I think it's funny because I think about it as I'm getting older. I don't look at those things as joys. Your body hurts. and you feel terrible and you get up in the morning and you think, oh, maybe I need to go back to bed. No, actually, I feel pretty good in the mornings. It's before I go to bed. I feel like I really need it because, man, everything aches. But as we fight this fight, as we understand that living in victory means taking charge of these things and understanding you're not going to be able to do it all. Suck it up, cupcake. You aren't Jesus Christ. But we know who is. And with his help, we'll get through every day. We will walk in the pain that we have. Because I don't care who you are, it's not going to go away until the Lord makes it go away. And guess what? Sometimes he doesn't make it go away. Sometimes he allows it to be in our lives to train us up. Isn't that what the scripture says, Miss Gloria? To train us up so that we may learn. What are we learning? We're getting prepared for eternity. Do you understand that? Because the next portion of our lives, we are going to be ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. We need to be prepared for that. Guess what's happening right now? You are in pre-millennium 101. Okay? This is college for the next level. Do you understand that? Before I could become a pastor, I had to take all these stupid courses. You know, I had to take, good glory, I had to take a science course. So I took marine biology. What does that have to do with being a pastor? Absolutely nothing. But we have to have a well-rounded education. Guess what? God thinks the same thing. So you're going to go through some perseverance. You're going to go through some torment. You're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some stuff so that you understand compassion, so that you understand mercy, so that you understand grace, because we're going to be the ones administering it during the millennium. Do you understand that? Most of us don't. Because all we think about is the here and now, and oh, it's terrible, and oh, God needs to take us away. No, learn what's going on, because before you is the cross. And what did Jesus say about the cross? He endured the cross, scorning its shame for the joy that's set before him, because he saw beyond the cross. We need to see beyond our own cross. Jesus has told us to take up our cross and follow him daily. In fact, I want you to turn there. Turn to the book of Matthew, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16. Because we need to understand, God is not mincing words here. The enemy that he is speaking of, the fact that we have fallen out of love is a real reality, and we need to get it back. From verse 24 in chapter 16. You all know these verses. You all know these verses. All of you out there know these verses. This is not new. This is the same Bible that we've had for 2,000 years. And this is the Word of God given to us. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Brothers and sisters, you and I need to truly understand that the enemy that is being spoken of in the book of Revelation here in chapter 2 is not Satan. It's our own selfish desires and wants. God knows we have need, but we need to give up those things of self, unto the Lord. You know, I think about it, and you know, pastors talk about themselves an awful lot. Do you ever notice that? That's because God wants our lives to be an example. I'm not emulating the fact that I got it right. I'm just one instance in thousands and millions, all right? But But I can remember when Lynn and I were talking about going into ministry. In fact, the conversation started out something like this. You're not going to go into the ministry, are you? No, honey, I'm not looking to go into the ministry. About 6 months later, I said, sweetheart, I think I'm going to take a course at Lancaster Bible College to see if, you know, if God really wants me in ministry, you know, he's going to make a way and I'll do okay. My wife, Lord, if he's not supposed to be there, give him an F. I'm speaking honestly, ain't I? I took a junior level course. I had never written a paper before in my life. I didn't know what those 101s, 201s, and 301s meant. So I took a 301 course with the toughest professor at Lancaster Bible College. He flunks more people than pass. That's not true, but a lot do flunk his courses and have to retake them. And he gave me a C. And I thought, wow, not bad. And he actually handed me my first paper, and I got a B on my paper, all right? And I'm looking right at him. I'm dumb, right? I'm naive. I looked right at him, and I said, wow, that's pretty awesome, a B. I didn't realize it was the highest grade in the class. I said, I never wrote a college paper before. And he looked at me and said, what? I said, yeah, this is the first time I ever wrote a paper. And he walked away. And it was so amazing. My point in all that is this. We had a life, didn't we? And it was a good life, wasn't it? Because I wasn't right in the Lord. My wife was taking a blunt of beating. Spiritually, emotionally. But the Lord had gotten a hold of my heart. And Lynn was looking at everything in her world changing, and she needed to see God's footprints. And she saw them. And she submitted. And we walked. And we literally sold the farm a year later. Gave it all up. Everything, to the point where I cashed in my 401k, my IRA, everything, to go through college and to move to Lebanon County, Pennsylvania. When we moved into our home, our bank account, every bank account, was at one. We had $1,000 in our checking account. And that is everything, my pension, everything, gone to get us in there. We started with practically nothing. And from that, God has allowed us to build and build and build and build. And I would not want to be anywhere else, because I'm going to tell you right now, he said, give me all of you and I'll give you all of me. And I'll guarantee you, my life is so much better now. I have wonderful friends in Christ. I have a church that truly pursues the Lord. You see, it's not about me. You all need to understand something. I love you and I want to be your friend, but I'm also your pastor, and I need to be pastor, which means what? I need to point you beyond me to Christ, that he is our aim. He is our goal. And we need to deny ourselves, and we need to get back to the reality of who we are as a church. Because when we look at what is being spoken there, you have left your first love. Jesus gave us three commandments. What's the first one? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second one is likened unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus put them into one. When he spoke it, he put them into one. Because these two sum up all the laws and the prophet. That's our first love. We have lost the love of God. We have walked away from loving God beyond our needs and loving our neighbors, those who are less fortunate than ourselves. And we need to get back to that reality as a church. Now, does that mean that we're failing on every account? No, we're not. No, you're not. But we need to pick it back up. God is reminding us that in every situation, we need to love him first. He needs to be our focus all the time. Okay? So when you're thinking about the reality that, you know, oh, you know, well, hey, I could take this money that I'm getting and I could buy a brand new car, or I could, do you need a brand new car? It's thinking things properly. Now, does that mean God doesn't want you to have a brand new car? No. God may very well want you to have that brand new car. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's the reality. Weigh it. Where does God want you to be? What does God want you to do? Weigh it. And if in your heart says, hey, God has blessed us and, you know, this car is going to last me 20 years because the clunker I have is a piece of junk. Great, buy the new car. But if you've got two cars already, do you need a third? No, I'm not talking over here. But it's so funny because we do this stuff. We do this stuff. And the reality is, God wants us to understand He has something more important for us. But we will choose I over God more often than not because of sin in our own lives. But you see, I want us all to realize something. God wants us to understand His grace and His mercy. Because if I just preach this message and tell you you're all messed up, guess what? I'm also saying I'm all messed up, right? Because I'm no better than any of you. You know, a lot of people will say, yeah, but well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to get it right. Really? Is that really the case? Because I'll tell you right now, there are times that I think that I fail more than I succeed. There are times when I look at my life and I ask myself, you know, is it worth everything that I'm putting into it? And guess what? God does one little simple thing. And somebody calls me and says, Pastor, oh my gosh, that sermon I can't believe, oh my heavens, you know, whatever. Or I have a person, like we went on the prayer walk, spoke with a lady. You know, it was hot that day. It was nice, but it was hot that day. We're walking around, and we get to our last person, last house. Lady's name was Pat. Am I right, ladies? Was it Pat? I can't remember. I swear it was Pat. We prayed. She was crying when we prayed. She was crying when we prayed. She hasn't been to church in a long time. She doesn't even have a Bible. Guess what? She has one now. And we prayed. And it's my prayer, and I hope it's all our prayers, that these prayer walks bring fruit, bring people into the church. Hey, let's face it. Fruit doesn't come the day after you plant it, right? Fruit comes weeks, months later. And that's what we need to be praying for, that the seeds we planted bring the harvest. And that we're prepared as a church. And the only way we're going to be prepared as a church is to understand we need to get back to that first love. Loving God and loving others and going with that word. Because when we do, God has a promise for us yet again. Turn back to Revelation. You see, God never just tells us we have to do something or else. God tells us, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. But if you do this, this is going to happen. He gives us a choice. You see, that's the God we serve. The God we serve loves us so much that He gives us a choice. We get to choose. Jump to verse 7 in chapter 2. Jesus is speaking to us. Each and every one of us. And He says this: He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Do you understand what that means? When you and I choose to love God and love others over all other things, When we get to paradise, and we will get to paradise, that's chapter 6, verse 11 in Hebrews, that we will receive the hope, that promise, and this is the promise, that we will eat of the tree of life. We will live forever with Him. There will be no more pain. There will be no more tears. There will be no more sorrow. There will only be the joy and love of God forever and ever and ever. And we will never be separated from Him. But we have to choose. Are you going to choose self, or are you going to choose life? And I'm going to tell you, every day and in every situation, we have to make that choice. Now, that does not mean you simply choose something in for religiosity's sake, all right? Because I'll guarantee you, if you choose things for religiosity's sake, you are doing nothing more than what these people were doing. And Christ told them, I see what you're doing, but you don't love God. You're simply doing it because you feel like you have to. How many of you have ever been in that boat? In the church. Oh, I got to do this because nobody else is going to do it. Well, guess what? Here's what your pastor says. If nobody else is going to do it, don't you do it either, because evidently it doesn't mean anything. And until it does mean something to everybody else, it should be done away with. Because until we love in unity, there is no love at all. There's only works. And how do works fare up, folks? Come on. We all know the answer to that question. But when we love God first, and the things that we do are compelled out of our hearts because we love Him, Jesus says, choose this. Choose this. And I will allow you to eat out of the tree of life in my Father's paradise. You see, when we choose Christ, He's already chosen us. And in that reality, we have the hope, the promise, the assurance that our salvation is secure. But we have to love God daily. You know, I don't know about you. Please, I'm going to pick on my dear wife again. I'm going to pick on my dear wife again. There were days that I didn't like her a whole lot. You ever been there? All right? If you're married, you know what I mean. But every day of my life since we are married, I have chosen to love this woman. Because if I don't like her one day, normally it's because I did something stupid. Or she did something stupid. And stupid can go away, but my love must always stay. Amen? And love is a choice. It's not just something that happens. The planets aligned. Ooh. It's a choice. Every day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the truth of your word because, Lord, it convicts us. Lord, it truly tells us just who we are and who we aren't. And the fact that we do fall short. And Lord, we will admit even now that we are our own worst enemy. We choose the things that we choose. We want to blame it on Satan because we don't like it on our plate. But the reality is, Father God, you've shown us by your own word that they're our choices. May we begin choosing wisely every day. So Lord, put those opportunities before us and help us to walk. Help us to get dressed in the morning with your salvation, with your grace, with your mercy, putting on the full armor, that we may take this battle to the enemy. Because, Lord, that's where battles are fought. And whether we want to admit it or not, that enemy is with us all day long. So, Lord, we give ourselves to you, and we ask that you would bless us, that you would walk with us, that you would show us grace ever-bounding, but then that you would help us to change from what we are to whom you know we will be in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.